You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Jonathan Abro has just returned from a trip to South Africa and is here to talk to us about his preparations and experiences of travelling solo as a blind adventurer. Hi, Jonathan. Can you tell us a bit about how you prepared for the trip?
For me, going to South Africa, there is familiarity because it's where I grew up and I've been quite a number of times. But traveling alone, and certainly since I've lost so much more of my vision, I'm now unable to see anything that's of any use. It does become sometimes nerve-wracking or a lot more planning involved. So obviously flights were booked and everything was sorted. Then most important is making sure that I've contacted the accessibility team on all flights that I'm going on to ensure that I've got assistance in all the airports and making sure that I've got people who are going to pick me up, either taxis or friends, whenever I am exiting from an airport. And then obviously making sure I know where everything is packed and that I've got everything I need, especially things like battery packs. So it's really just, I suppose, the same thing that most people would go through, but having to pay a lot more attention to the detail of it.
How do you, on a travel day, make sure you feel comfortable and ready to go?
I try and get to the airport early so that I can make sure that there's plenty of time. With the airlines, I've made sure I also have all the contact details for the assistance teams, or as many as I can. On this trip, I flew British Airways out of Terminal 5. So I know that the assistance area is all the way at the far side, closest to the Cafe Nero as it is at the moment. And fortunately, my partner went with me to the airport and took me to the assistance area. I have had a bad experience. In the past, I've written and made contact with some of the more senior people within Heathrow Airport. And as a result, I had the phone number of one of the directors involved with assistance. So I got in touch with him and he came to have a coffee with me before I actually went through to the airside. So I think one of the things I would always suggest to people is make sure that they get whatever info they can about the assistance team and how best to get help going through. All of that was done, dropped off my suitcase at check-in and got taken to the assistance area. And then something I've noticed over my years of travel is that often they'll leave you waiting in the assistance area before going through security for a long time. I've stopped allowing that. I insist, I say, I would like to go through, please get myself through security. So that's another hurdle out of the way. Pick up a coffee and then you can go and put me wherever it is that you want to while I wait to be taken to the aircraft. Because that's a horrible part of the whole travel, is getting yourself through security and everything sorted in your carry-on. Normally when I get assistance, I'm taken onto the airplane first, ahead of most passengers. This time, at Heathrow Terminal 5, there's this whole big seating area for people who are seeking assistance. And they said they would wait until people started boarding to take me to the plane, which meant that by the time I got onto the aeroplane, a lot of people were already on. And as you know, when people are on the plane, there's lots of activity and trying to get yourself sorted. Whereas if you're taken on as one of the first passengers, it's a lot more relaxed and easy to get yourself sorted. So that was something that I did experience this time that I will do my best to ensure it doesn't happen that way in future.
And you're, alongside this trip, a very experienced adventurer and traveller. Do you normally have quite a big itinerary of plans?
If we're on adventure travels, one of the things I've learned over the years is not to have a long list of things to do and never try and see everything, because you'll fail. Rather enjoy the things that you do see. Know some of the important things you want to go and see, but make sure that you keep plenty of time for just enjoying where you are, because so often when we go adventuring, it's somewhere either new or new in a country that you might have been to before. And for me, part of the adventuring is getting to know the country I'm in and the people, experiencing a bit of that. It's very much part of the experience for me. So there's always got to be time to smell the roses, sit and drink coffee, all of the things that, if you've got this long list of must-do things, you forget to add to that list. So that's my big thing for travel as well.
You've talked before a bit about the wonderful multi-sensory experiences you enjoy when you're travelling, and what is something that really distinguishes the UK from South Africa? Was there anything that stood out to you this time?
Certainly in Durban, there's the Indian Ocean, which is a big crashing ocean, big waves, and the sound of the sea and the smell of the sea, which is something that I don't really experience here in the UK. I've been to the coast here in the UK, but it's very different from the hot climate, big ocean country like South Africa. I think in Johannesburg, I was staying in a hotel on my own, a hotel I've never stayed at before. And I think how friendly people were and how helpful people were around the hotel. No matter where you go in the world, I find that people love to help. And this was no exception. This was just proof that if you explain to people the sort of help you need and are willing to accept their help, it doesn't matter where in the world you are, what the culture is, you can get your help and meet interesting people along the way. I chatted with a number of the people who worked in the hotel and the shopping area where I was staying and learned so much from them. So I think that's always part of my travels, is learning and meeting and accepting help, because that's the way you get to chat to people.
And what's something that travel providers can do for you and for other blind and partially sighted people that would make traveling simpler and less stressful?
Listen, that's the big thing. Listen to us. We're the ones who know what we want. We're not all the same, but we are all able to tell you what we want. And for me, that's the big thing. So if somebody who is blind or partially sighted says, I'd like to go through security now, I'd like to stop and get a coffee, and by the way, I don't want to be in a wheelchair because it's my eyes that don't work, not my legs, listen to them. We, as the blind and visually impaired travelers, we are the experts in sight loss. So we're asking for help. I'm very grateful that the services are available, but I do want to be treated with the, I guess respect is one word, but just the understanding that I'm somewhere because I know I can manage that most of the time and I know what I want.
And finally, what travel tips do you have?
Prepare. Make sure that you've got all of the things that you need with you so that you're not suddenly at a loss. Something as simple as a battery pack for charging your phone, or if you're going somewhere where either you're going to be out in the dark or in a place where sometimes electricity is not always available, get yourself a head torch. If you've got a little bit of vision, or even if you don't, but you're going to be needing help, if you've got a head torch, your hands are still free. So whether you're using a cane, holding onto somebody, or carrying something, your way is lit up because the head torch shows you the direction you're looking in.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan Abro, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio to share some of your travelling stories and travelling tips.
It's my pleasure, Amelia. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.